Let's turn back to Matthew's Gospel account, chapter 11. We're going to pick up right where we left off this morning and just continue on. Chapter 11. All things are delivered of me. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father. Neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Now that we've covered. But now Christ continues on with this in verse 28 and 29. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And I really should have said verses 28, 29, and 30. Christ Jesus is full of grace and truth, and here he makes the most gracious offer imaginable, the most gracious invitation imaginable, and truth, an unimaginable, unspeakable invitation to fallen, justly condemned sinners, dead in trespasses and sins, by nature children of wrath. What he offers is of the free grace, the unmerited kindness and goodness of God. I will give you rest. I will give you. This speaks of free grace. It speaks of the unmerited, undeserved kindness and goodness of God the Father and Christ Jesus the Son, received by the effectual working of the Holy Spirit. And the words Christ speaks are pure heavenly truth. I say he's full of grace and truth. We have this gracious offer. We have this free grace. Then we hear this truth, these words of Christ in our text. What he speaks is pure heavenly truth. It is immutably, purely true, as are all the promises of God in Christ. These are words of life, and those who receive them and believe what's comprehended in what's offered and promised will pass from death unto life. They will receive everlasting life. The Savior here speaks to fallen, condemned sinners, but specifically to those who labor and are heavy laden. That is, laboring under a heavy burden. That's whom he addresses this to. Others will not receive this promise. They will not lay hold on this promise, and they will not receive this promise and realize it. The burden spoken of is the guilt of sin with the conscience bearing witness, and the bondage of sin and of Satan, in short, spoken of are those who wear and labor under that heavy burden, that heavy yoke. I say they wear and labor under that heavy yoke and bear that heavy burden. Now, all of the fallen children of Adam are in bondage to sin and Satan, but not all pay heed to the word of God and the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience bearing witness, which does accuse them of sin and warns them of their condemned state, their justly condemned state. So while they are bond slaves of Satan and sin, yet they harden their hearts against the conviction of sin and condemnation and reality of their servitude. Christ speaks to those condemned sinners who are laboring, heavy laden and weary. These are the ones he speaks to. Those who are laboring under this heavy burden. They're weary of being the servants of sin and Satan and laden down with the guilt of sin and the realization of their sure condemnation. He's already warned many times of the guilt of sin and the just condemnation of all men. Now he speaks to those with a heartfelt conviction of their guilt and condemnation who are sorrowful for their sins. And what Christ says comprehends the necessity of the sinner acknowledging from the heart their just and sure condemnation, since he speaks of those laboring and being heavy laden by the guilt of sin, which is a very great blessing from God, to be heavy laden by the guilt of that sin, that condemning sin. And he speaks also of the utter helplessness of any condemned sinner to be made free by his own efforts or merit or anything of himself or of any man, to be made free from the guilt and condemnation of sin and free from the bondage of sin as well, the dominion of sin, and made free from bondage to Satan. He offers rest. He offers rest. Instant, everlasting rest from the condemnation, dominion of sin. That is bondage and servitude to sin, as we speak of dominion of sin. And I say, from the condemnation of sin and of from a condemning conscience and from the fear that a sinner at enmity with God has, I say, the fear that he's in the hands of an angry God. And this rest is entered into by a heartfelt confession of sin and of one's just condemnation, repentance for sin, and belief in Christ as the holy, sufficient Savior, and in his pardoning, cleansing blood, and his justifying righteousness. Salvation is only and entirely and wholly received by free grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Christ will give by the merits of his shed blood and by the imputed justifying righteousness he wrought out for sinners, and which God accepts for their justification unto life and adoption as his children. In short, by this free gift of free grace, which is Christ's obedience, suffering, death, and resurrection as the head of the covenant of grace, in order to be our prophet, priest, and king, by this unspeakable gift, Christ will give the rest he speaks of to sinners which come to him, repenting and believing on him, this glorious rest. Isaiah 11, verse 10 speaks of it. In that day there shall be a root of Jesse, which shall stand for an ensign of the people. To it shall the Gentiles seek, and his rest shall be glorious. Isaiah 32, verse 17, and the work of righteousness shall be peace, and the effect of righteousness, quietness and assurance forever. Speaking of this rest Christ will give. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Verse 29, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am weak and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. This is part and parcel of finding rest then. Come to him, repent, believe, be saved, and take his yoke upon you, and then learn of him and find rest for your souls. Those who are given by Christ Jesus to have rest from the heavy burden of sin's condemnation and ever-abiding guilt, as well as bondage to sin and Satan, are made free. They enter into gospel liberty. They're given rest from that, and they enter into gospel liberty. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. But this is not to say they become their own master and a law unto themselves. Those who would be made free in Christ must gladly take him for their new master, gladly take his yoke upon them, yoke symbolizing their submission and obedience to Christ and service for him, their master. Take my yoke upon you, he says. Those who are saved and justified unto life, regenerated and adopted by God, then serve a new master, a gracious master, a wonderful master, Christ Jesus, the King of kings, the Lord of lords. They take him as their master, and in that their prophet, their priest, and their king. And they are not without law, but under the law to Christ. They're called and commanded then to evangelical obedience. We've spoken of that many times, what that comprehends, and faithful, fruitful, ongoing, constant, consistent service for their master. Redeemed from the curse of the law and bondage to sin and Satan, they are not their own, nevertheless. They were bought with a price. To sum up, the precious blood of Jesus is the price. It is the cost. Take my yoke upon you, he says, and learn of me. And learn of me. What does he mean there? Those who enter into the rest of Christ nevertheless enter into what we would say are spiritual labors. We spoke of service, but spiritual labors in this as well, a lifetime of learning of Christ, learning of him and his doctrines and his will for his people in all things having to do with faith, practice, and life, and this by the word of God. The reading, the study, attending to the preaching of and the teaching of the word of God. And this learning is then put into practical, faithful application by the Christian. It is not just learning that sits in the head. It finds its home in the heart, and it then is put into application by the Christian. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, and then this, for I am meek and lowly in heart. What specifically is this to be applied to? Meek and lowly in heart. Well, we would apply it to what came before. Learn of me. Christ Jesus, the eternally begotten Son of God, the Word made flesh, in order to save his people from their sins, humbled himself unspeakably in so many ways, and even unto death on the cross and burial among sinful men. He did this in obedience to his Father, according to his covenant commitment before the foundation of the world. What is spoken of here specifically, as we consider what he's just said, that is, learn of me, is how Christ did submit himself to his Father and his will, and this in all humility, obeying in all things, and even, and though this is a mystery, considering our Savior, of course, is also true God, but even humbly learning knowledge and wisdom as a child. Luke 2, the verse 52, and Jesus increased in wisdom and stature, and in favor with God and man. And even the scriptures say, learned obedience by the things he suffered. Now, he did not need to learn obedience in the sense to be taught obedience. It means he experienced obedience under the law by what he suffered. And with all of that, we look at his meekness and lowliness of heart in just submitting to his Father and obeying, and he himself, God, and yet also man, and this humble submission, including to learning wisdom as a child. And of course, we see him in his trial also meekly obeying his Father, even to the death on the cross. And so we have, take my yoke upon you, that is, as our master, and learn of me, then, that is, of him and his doctrines and his will for his people and all things, as I said, having to do with faith, practice, and life. And in this, taking Christ for our example, submit to the word of the Lord as it's revealed and all that's required and commanded, all that's promised and threatened, including rightly then preached and taught by solid scriptural faithful ministers of the word, humbly, meekly submit in obedience to Christ as our master, certainly to God our Father and to Christ as our master. Take my yoke upon you, he is now our master, and learn of me. How do we learn of him? We learn of him by meekly and humbly submitting to the word of the Lord. For I am meek and lowly in heart. That is how. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. Believe on Christ. Take the yoke of Christ with what it comprehends. Learn of him. Be like him with regard to what we just summed up. And ye shall find rest unto your souls. Rest. Rest in the old paths. Where is the good way? Jeremiah 6, verse 16, thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? And walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. God forbid that any here, having found this rest in Christ, entered into it, would then begin to stray away from it, and begin to, in time, begin to not have the full blessing of that rest, because they will not walk in the old paths. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. And then verse 30, for my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Those who enter into Christ's rest as the Lord's regenerated people are called and commanded to evangelical obedience and faithful, fruitful, ongoing, consistent service for their master, whose yoke they wear and whose burden they bear, the burden he gives them. Redeemed from the curse of the law and bondage to sin and Satan, they are still not their own. They have been bought with a price. They have been bought with a price. Again, to sum it up, the precious blood of Jesus. However, there's a yoke, there's a burden, but Christ promises his yoke is easy and his burden is light. We will speak of that shortly as we speak of this rest and yet a yoke and a burden. Just a word here on false converts. And to some extent, what I say applies to rebellious Christians, worldly Christians, worldly-minded, and even more so to false converts. False converts, as is the case with all unbelievers, they find no true lasting rest for their souls in this life, and of course, most certainly will not enter into that perfect, constant, unchanging, eternal rest and glory, quite the opposite. And the false convert never finds rest, never finds rest in a faithful, sanctified church where the congregation and the minister are in the old paths, wherein is the good way. They never find rest there. Never find rest where the word of God is faithfully preached and applied. I say they never find rest. They reject the rest of Christ, the false convert. Might say he has it, might say she has it, but shown to be not really having it in possession of it because they don't have rest, and it shows. They cannot abide by all the counsel of the Word of God preached and applied. In such a church, false converts are soon enough shown to be just that because they chafe under the yoke of Christ. They won't wear it. They rebel under it. Some of them end up even mocking eventually, openly or otherwise, raging, putting on at times a bitter face, and generally seeking to undermine the right order of the church and the faithful teaching and government of it. It is too heavy, burdensome a yoke for them to take. They won't take it. They won't take it. They're not going to give up anything. They're not going to give up anything. They won't give up with CCM or if it's their Bible version. Oh, it's just too heavy a burden to learn some of those words in the King James Bible. No, 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 that's too heavy, and this is too heavy, and that's too heavy. That yoke chafes. Many of them I've seen, it's just proper church government. They're not going to, that's too heavy a burden. That's too chafing a yoke, and so on and so forth. More often than not, such converts blame others or circumstances, or generally both, for their own miserable condition. I say the condition of the heart, that they have not rest in their own souls. Rather than face the truth, they blame others. They blame conditions, blame anything but themselves for the fact that they've not been, of course, been made free and come into this rest of Christ. They won't come to grips with the fact that they haven't truly repented and believed on Christ and taken his yoke upon them. They won't take his yoke upon them. It is too chafing. It is too heavy a burden. They refuse to see the problem is themselves. They need a new heart. I, in the time of my preaching, have seen it over and over and over again. And it's blame someone else. Blame the preacher. Blame whatever it might be. But don't look at themselves. They keep running away from the truth. They keep running away from the truth that the problem is themselves. That's why they have no rest in their souls, no peace in their heart. They need to be saved, but they refuse to see it. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. He says, for my yoke then is easy and my burden is light. Those who enter into the rest Christ gives are yet, I said earlier, called and commanded to evangelical obedience and faithful, fruitful, ongoing, consistent service for the Lord. There is a yoke to wear. There is a burden to bear, but Christ promises the yoke is easy and the burden is light. And since regenerated man or woman loves the Lord and desires from the heart to obey their new gracious master, Christ Jesus, it is with them, as is said in 1 John 5, the verse 3, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. The yoke isn't. heavy, or the burden, and the yoke is easy, and the burden is light, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And so that one has a work of faith and a labor of love and a patience of hope in our Lord Jesus in the sight of God and our Father. And he walks in the old paths. He submits to the word of the Lord. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. But Christ has also commanded this: if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Yet at the same time, we have this promise from the Savior: my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Is there a conflict there? I mean, what of those brethren whom the Master called and does in parts of the world yet today still call to suffer such loss and suffer so severely in so many ways, many even unto death for him? Is that obedience and service for Christ easy and light? No, by no means. It is not of and in and of itself. But Christ in our text speaks comparatively with regard to those. You take it comparatively with regard to such of his servants who suffer so much, lose so much, perhaps even their life. In other words, even with those called by the Master to such hard service, his yoke is still easy and his burden light compared to the yoke and burden of sin and everlasting condemnation in hell, which is where it all ends. Compared to what those who die without Christ will endure and suffer in body and soul for all eternity, compared to serving sin and Satan as your master, and because of that as a consequence, spending all eternity in hell. No, the yoke of Christ is easy and the burden is light compared to that, even if called to suffer. Paul says, "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory." And so Christ does not mean that suffering is not suffering, that sorrowing is not sorrowing, that separation from loved ones, loss of everything, sacrifice, and so on and so forth, that it's not suffering. It is suffering. It's suffering for him. There's great and grievous suffering, and yet, comparatively speaking, his yoke is still light, or his yoke is still easy and his burden light. And there's no doubt that God, by and through Christ Jesus, does still provide in those extreme situations, in all circumstances, enabling, sustaining grace for his suffering servants, and does give them rest in their hearts and souls, in their souls. That is, he gives them rest and he gives them abiding hope, peace, and the joy of their salvation, even if at times they do go through trials, which all but plunge them at the moment for a time into despair, utter despair, but they don't stay there, and they still find rest. And still, comparatively speaking, the yoke is easy, the burden is light. As for the likes of us, the Lord's people, in a nation such as this, a time such as this, for us the yoke of Christ is exceedingly easy, and the burden exceedingly light. That does not mean that we ought to abuse that, like so many do, and they make it so much easier and lighter than it's meant to be. If we will be truly obedient and faithful, yes, we will make certain sacrifices, and we will bear certain reproaches. But what's that? What's that but easy service, an easy yoke and light burden, and service for Christ, who humbled himself and became made like unto his brethren, suffering such reproach and indignities and privations, and then with such meekness and lowliness of heart, obeying his Father and suffering on the cross as well, even unto death, and enduring all the wrath of God due to us, poured into his soul. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest, all men and women will live in and leave this world, either servants of sin and Satan or servants of Christ Jesus. They will wear a yoke. It will either be Christ's easy yoke, they will bear a burden. It will either be Christ's light burden, or it will be Satan and sin's heavy burden and anything but light yoke. And I just want to warn those among the Lord's people who are without concern for their own eternity, and who deceive themselves that sin and Satan is not their masters. Such may deny the truth of God all they want, but we say, let God be true and every man a liar. And my warning is this. Satan is subtle. His principal aim is to see you suffering in the everlasting hell that he knows is his own portion and destination. If he believes the best way to achieve that end is to make your servitude to him lighter and less noticeable, at least for a time, perhaps for a long time, I know not how long, well, then that will be his strategy. He will deceive you into thinking service to him is freedom, even. In truth, he will deceive you into thinking you're not serving him at all. As for that other one who is your joint master with Satan, that is your sin nature, any unconverted but honest man, woman, or young person knows they are not the master of sin. It is the other way around. Sin is their master to one extent or another. It's only because of the restraining grace of God, including the preserving savor of the gospel, and with regard to the underaged, the putting out of reach, I say the underage that are in Christian families, the blessing that there's been so much put out of your reach that is dangerous and enslaving, these sort of temptations. It is only because of that, too, that sin does not seem so much to be your master, and his yoke, like Satan's, does not seem so heavy yet. But Satan and sin are cruel masters, and it is just sheer madness to ignore that reality, let alone trust in any tender mercies from such tyrants. So today is the day of grace. Today is the day of salvation. May God bring all who are without Christ who hear this message to know the reality and the danger of their bondage and condemnation before it's too late for them. 2 Corinthians 6, verses 1 and 2, we then, as workers together with him, beseech you, also that you receive not the grace of God in vain. All those who sit under faithful preaching, gospel preaching, are receiving the grace of God in that sense. And the apostle says, we then as workers together with him, that is Christ, beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain. For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. And it may be the only day of salvation for some who hear this, because they may not have another day. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I want to close with that in mind, with this quote from J.C. Ryle, that godly evangelical bishop of the Church of England. No, we don't believe in bishops and that sort of church government. But he was a godly evangelical bishop of the Church of England. He was a contemporary with Charles Spurgeon. He was a man who fought to stem the rising tide of spiritual corruption in the Church of England. We, with Spurgeon, would wish that Ryle would have separated from that church and that he had put it behind him and preached against what was going on from the outside. And I believe had he lived even longer, he lived a long life, no doubt he would have. And if he was alive today, he would not have any part of that church. But with regard to this, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And you think of that rest in this life, and then you think of that eternal, glorious rest in that world to come, a rest from sin, Satan's temptations, sorrow, disease, death, a rest from anything that disturbs the Christian's peace and righteousness and holiness. There is a pass in Scotland called Glencoe, which supplies a beautiful illustration of what heaven will be to the person who comes to Christ. The road through Glencoe carries the traveler up a long and steep ascent, with many a little winding and many a little turn in its course. But when the top of the pass is reached, a stone is seen by the wayside, with these simple words engraved on it, "Rest and be thankful." Reader, these words describe the feelings with which everyone who comes to Christ will enter heaven. The summit of the narrow way will be won. We shall cease from our weary journeying and sit down in the kingdom of God. We shall look back over all the way of life with thankfulness and see the perfect wisdom of every little winding and turn in the steep ascent by which we were led. We shall forget the toils of the upward journey in the glorious rest. Thanks be unto God, a day is coming when believers shall rest perfectly and be thankful.